I'll read from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to the end. Very short passage. And this should be somewhat familiar as well to those of you who have been a Christian for a while. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to the end, and you have a Bible or whatever, you can keep your Bible open there. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listened to his teaching. And Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled over many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Now, we often read this passage or this incident in terms of two different forms of discipleship. Doing versus listening. Contemplating versus acting. Or contemplative life versus an active life. So some of you may say, I'm more like serving Martha. And others will say, I'm more like sitting Mary. And of course, in this passage, Mary trumps Martha. And so the lesson is, it is better to lead a contemplative life than an active one. Now, this is very often a very common interpretation of this passage. And it makes sense here in Singapore, because this passage is a very powerful antidote to our very busy life here in Singapore, which also, of course, creeps into the church. The church often reflects society as well. So recently, I had this wonderful privilege of taking time off to be with the Lord. And I was right in this place. I think there's a slide, the next slide. Right in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Whitfield. Obviously, it's not in Singapore, right? Somewhere nearby. Not in Indonesia. Leave you to figure out. So, staying in this house all alone, in the middle of nowhere, and let me tell you, in the night, it's pitch black. You can see the Orion Belt, you can see the constellations up in the sky. And you must not be afraid of darkness, because at night, you hear the sound. And then occasionally you hear noise, you know, of hares or rabbits scurrying around. Really solitude in the middle of nowhere. So I did a lot of reading, a lot of spending time with the Lord. And it was a wonderful occasion. I still remember on this day, I woke up, it's a beautiful day. You can just walk out and you have the meadows, you know, you have the mountains. And so I put on wireless. And I was in a chanting mood. Actually, this is actually a Benedictine monastery. So I play some of my favorite Benedictine chants, put on my coat, because it's rather chilly out there. So I'm all ready for a great day of walking. Right? So I walk out with the music in my ear and just spend time with the Lord. And suddenly, vroom, vroom, Australian fly. And that ruined my day, and I quickly rushed back into the house. So there you go. Anyway, and it's important that I spend time with the Lord, and of course, in a sense, that illustrates this passage as well. Paul suggests that this passage teaches us more than that. In fact, if you start by serving the Gospel of Luke, in which this passage is found, you find the word diakonin, which means serving, appears many times in this book and a few times in this passage itself. In fact, serving epitomizes the very mission of Jesus. Jesus refers often to himself as one who serves, right? Not as one who sits, but as one who serves again and again, all through the Gospel of Luke and, of course, all through all the other Gospels as well. In fact, there's this constant refrain that discipleship consists in both hearing and doing the word. It's not just sitting, but serving as well. So at one level, we can say he cannot, surely he cannot be criticizing Martha, because Martha has chose to offer diligent service to the Lord. In fact, in Greek word, it means pole diakonia. Many tasks, many forms of serving, which often offered, of course, when an important guest is coming into a house. And these tasks, of course, as we know, can be manifestations of discipleship. After all, in Luke chapter 10, it is a book about doing an action. Right at the start of Luke chapter 10, we have the sending of the two disciples, two by two, to share the news of the kingdom. And then, just before this passage, we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you don't need to elaborate, because that parable is about doing. If you love, as this passage is saying, it's not just from the heart, it needs to be translated to very concrete action. So commentators say this, I have a slide for that. If you censure Martha too harshly, she may abandon serving altogether. If you commend Mary too profusely, she may sit there forever. Some of you may prefer. There's a time to go, and there's a time to do. There's a time to listen and reflect. Knowing which and when is a matter of spiritual discernment. If we ask Jesus which example applies to us, the Samaritan or Mary, his answer will probably be both. Right, and that is correct. But there are some other further lessons, observations, which I want you to glean from this passage. So let me read again. Verse 38. Now as they went on the way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha, it was Martha, who welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. So Martha opened her home to him. She was a host, she was an invitor, so to speak. And you have a guest in the house, you want to make sure he's comfortable and feel at home. After all, there are many scriptural exhortations to be hospitable. To welcome is to love. To welcome someone is to offer love to the person. You know, there are some people who think that to welcome someone or to be kind is just a minor expression of love. But I believe the scripture teaches to welcome someone is actually at the heart of love. You have not even begun to welcome someone or to accept someone. Right? You have not begun to love that person. This is the reason why the ministry of hospitality, greeting someone, acknowledging the presence of someone is constantly talked about in the scripture. I count myself generally as a pastor who is generally well loved in all the congregations that I serve in. But there's one congregation, I won't mention who, so that you don't try and narrow down. But I had this very rude occasion on that morning when I was greeting people. And this person deliberately ignored me. Or shaking hands. You know something? I can't describe you the impact it had on me. Very profound impact. You know, I'd rather this person scold me in the face or say something, you know. But it was very deliberate, just as if I don't exist, you know. That's the point, right? As if you don't exist. That's what the Bible says, greet one another, right? Show love to a stranger and welcome. That is essential. If you have not even begun to do that, and so it's a challenge for every church, cathedral included, right? Because there are all kinds of people coming in, including those who are sometimes troubled mentally. I always say, look, you don't come to church, where else will they go to? Church is the only safe place. And so at the very least, show love, be patient, just listen, and because that itself is the expression of love. And so Romans 15 verse 7, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. As Christ accepted you just as you are, we still need to welcome and love each other. Now, it's of course very stressful to provide hospitality and serve tables. So we need to sympathize with Martha. And that was her primary task, to prepare the room. And definitely, do not mention specifically, but definitely she was preparing a meal. Now, housewives will understand this, and some men like me, because you know I love to cook. We often welcome friends for a meal. And when I am cooking, I take off my vicar's hat. I don't have a hat, but you know. And I put on the hat of a chef. And my whole disposition changes. So when we run the Alpha course in the cathedral, or even back in St. James Church, when I'm part of the serving team, I'll be out in front dishing out rice. And members will be so embarrassed. Vicar, how can you serve rice to me? You know, that's meant for, we outsource all these kind of tasks, right? But when I put on the cap, I'm on a serving mode. And when I'm cooking, I'll be highly strung. And both myself and Jennifer, we love to welcome guests. And so, as the guests arrive, Jennifer is a very people-centered person, and she loves to spend talking with the guests. And I'm preparing, and as a cook, everything is important. As they come, is there a welcome drink, right? Is the table laid out correctly? And the food needs to be served at the right time. Not too hot, not too cold. Right? So there's a lot of pre-dinner. Of course, you go to fine dining restaurant, you have all those waiters there to make sure that happens. But I only have my wife, you see. And she would be busy talking to the guests. And so sometimes, I'd want a smile, you see. Hello, welcome. But my eyes, dagger eyes. You know, I'm trying to communicate with my wife. The wine needs to be poured out. This to be done. That needs to be done. So I can understand to some degree the stress that Martha must be going through. So the word distracted with much serving, a very unique Greek word. The only time it's used here. It means to be pulled in different directions. One way or another, hither and thither, the old English expression. To be encumbered, to be pulled in all directions. So Mary was very worked up. So why is Mary not helping me? Sorry, Martha. Why is Mary not helping me? She was saying, this is a text, by the way, right? So we just have a text for, so it's very, very flat. But this passage needs to be dramatized, right? So imagine Mary must be beckoning. You can see the stress on her face, right? So a body language, you know, right? Gesturing. And finally, the stress spilled out of her mouth. She complained to her own VIP guest, which is so her lord. Therefore, she's trying to ask the guest to apply her lordship and ask her sister to help her. So, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So, you know, Church David is known for your dramas, right? So one day you may put this into a drama. And you can see, Mary must be shouting, Saint Martha, do you not care? Maybe she was already in tears. They have left me to serve her. Tell her then to help me. So verse 41. Now you have to imagine here. Do you think the Lord is scolding Martha? What do you think? Martha! You're anxious. Trouble many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen a good portion. Shut up. Leave her alone. Of course not, right? Martha, said twice for emphasis. The Lord arrested the attention. Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There's something to be said. There's a whole sermon on anxiety here, right? Most typically many Singaporeans go through on a daily basis. You are troubled, anxious of many things. But actually, only one thing is essential. Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen a good portion which will not be taken away from her. Martha needed to hear that. Jesus was not going for a busy Martha. Now, nothing wrong with serving. And let me tell you, sometimes my life gets very busy, as you can imagine, right? Whether it's a cook or as a baker. But you can still be at peace in your heart. You can still be undistracted. You can still have a lot of joy in your heart. She was not going for a busy Martha, but she was going for a worried and distracted Martha. For Martha was supposed to be attentive to Jesus after all. There's someone whom they love, and he's in her house. But she was so worried and upset about so many things, She was missing out the very reason why they've invited the master there in the first place. Only one thing is necessary, Martha. The one essential thing. And Martha has chosen that. Sorry, Mary has chosen that. She's not to be chided, but she's to be applauded. Some commentators think, and I believe it is, I believe there's some truth in this, that Jesus at that point may be referring to one of the dishes that Martha made. So you can imagine, because it's a special guest. So Martha, one reason probably why Martha was so stressed, because she's preparing many dishes. One of my wife's favorite dish is nasi ulam. Right? So one day she visits me, tell me, can you make nasi ulam? I have no idea what nasi ulam tastes like. So I googled, search, and so I made nasi ulam. Nasi ulam is herb rice. Huh? Those of you who have nonya background, you understand this. Now, nasi ulam, most of the time, it's supposed to be a standalone dish. You eat nasi ulam, maybe put some fish in it. You're vegetarian, you just, well, rich with herbs. Right? You put some meat in, some fish, and it becomes a standalone dish. So each time we host guests who come, as you can imagine, I can cook all kinds of things. So you can go French, you can go this and that. Indian, even Indian, Malay, I dabble all kinds of things. Thai cuisine. But my wife always say, cook nonya, that's us. You know, that's our background and you are best at it. You know? So, okay, fine. But it gets very boring. But every meal is nasi ulam and blah, 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 plus fried chicken, you know, sambal udang. So I say, why? Oh, you know, it goes so boring. Right? But every time I cook, it's like that. But the funny thing with nasi ulam is, it's meant to be eaten alone, you see. You're not meant to embellish it, all kinds of dishes. But because you're inviting friends, and true to Singapore style, I'm not sure whether it's in Nigeria, we serve a plethora of dishes. I'd like to imagine if Jesus would come to my house and there's my wife working out the menu, and I was so busy, so stressed up preparing, then Jesus said, he pointed his hand, nasi ulam. Only this is necessary. You see? To illustrate the point. Because sometimes you can be so busy with all kinds of embellishment, but only one thing is necessary. Don't put out a fuss. Don't put out a show. Let your love for Jesus or your love for another person be authentic. Only go straight for what is essential. So Luke 10 is about that. Luke chapter 10 is about what is essential. Right? You see it in the sending of the two. They cast out demons. They healed the sick. What did Jesus say? Well, my friends, he said, rejoice. Don't rejoice that you have cast out demons or hear the sick. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. One essential thing. The parable, the Good Samaritan, a lot of action, a lot of drama, a lot of side stories. But one essential thing. Love means to love your neighbor as yourself. That you do for another person what you ultimately do for yourself. And of course, as the chapter comes to an end, to welcome Jesus means to give attention to Him. So this passage is not so much about one form of devotion, but one object of devotion. It's not about sitting or serving, contemplating or acting. That's a time for both. It is, however, about being attentive to Jesus, whether you're serving or sitting. To be in your hearts devoted to Him. On another occasion, Jesus will say, do this in remembrance of me. Do what? The Lord's Supper. Alright? Which today we will celebrate. In fact, my message this morning ties in very well with Canon Ringy's sermon yesterday on the road to Emmaus. It's about being attentive to Jesus. Remember Jesus. And Jesus is not saying, don't forget about me. All right, He's saying, as you take your meal together, as you celebrate this meal, remember, I was with you and I'm still with you. Remember, I'm there in the meal with you. Being so mindful of the Lord Jesus. The classic verses message to the seven churches, Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. Singapore is known for this. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. And we can be morally upright, doctrinally sound, mission-wise faithful. We can be busy changing the world and speaking to pastors, right? We can be busy growing churches. But if there's an inner tension in us, we are easily upset and worried about many things. We have missed out one essential thing, and that is Jesus. Chances are very high, by the way. You know, we work in a very highly stressed society, and don't imagine the church is all loving and peaceful and calm. Sometimes even among our pastors, even sometimes in the church relationship, you get sometimes very fierce emails, right? And if your pastor or your cell leader is constantly stressing, you need to ask a question. It's not about temperament or the person. Is there a peace in his heart? Is he serving the Lord, right? Because if we are following him, right, we will reflect his presence even in the midst of stress. So all this is going on in the church, but if Jesus is not glorified, not followed, as I often tell my staff, because so much is going on in the cathedral, from the bells to everything, you know. But if his word is ignored, we have missed the whole point. My dear friend, the late Bishop Albert Boone, he said this, his last sermon, 2 days before he passed away, he said this, will you serve God for nothing? At that point, he's really serving God for nothing. Because he's lost everything, including his health, which was slipping away. Will you serve God for nothing? If you serve God for something, you're not really serving God, you're serving that something. And that statement has never left me, you know. So Martha was worried and upset, to the point that she wanted to pull Mary away from what is essential. I always say this, the distracted person will distract others. When our hearts have lots of focus on that one thing, we can easily be a stumbling block to others. For we are interpreting the devotion of others from the condition of our own hearts. Remember how Mary Magdalene, right? She poured her life savings in the perfume on the Lord Jesus, and she was criticized by Judas Iscariot. We see the same here happening. How can Mary leave me to do all this work? When we have lost our center, devotion or some other Christians just won't make sense. And this also can guide us sometimes, right? How we relate to others who love Jesus with the simplicity of devotion. And sometimes to me, theologically, a bit not quite fully there. Maybe the old expressing it, maybe the old enthusiastic. But don't pour water on it, because it's coming from a heart of love. And so we're reminded by Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. But I'm afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. What is a Christian? The most simplest definition, a follower of Christ. To love Jesus and to follow him. And recently, a bishop declared a day of prayer and fast, and so many clergy went all over Singapore, you know, to pray and fast. And that was an exceptionally emotional day for me, because as I was thinking, in Singapore, there are not many places you can go to, you know, for silence and solitude. Right? But the Lord just led me back to NUS, National University of Singapore. And this kind of public places and institutions actually do have many spots of quietness. You can just walk in, sit down, no one will bother you, you know. You enjoy the air condition and read, and just don't raise your hands and shout too much. But you can spend a pretty good time. But it was a very emotional day, because for me, my service to God started in this place, you see. Like your pastor, my country of birth is Malaysia. And I was a PR for many years, a parasite resident, right? Many years. And this is where it all started. And it was with emotion. I was actually in tears as I recall the goodness of God. As I recall my simple devotion to Christ that's allowed Him to use me. You know, it, as a fact, it was a powerful moment those years in NUS. What the Lord did in those years. Because that's when, of course, Danny was also there. And to reflect back on how good God has been to me, how He's blessed me, the family, blessed me with a wonderful ministry. You know, sometimes when I meet recently, in fact, Pastor Daniel, as you know, we are good friends, partly because we also come from the same school back home and so same town, Petaling Jaya. And he said, you know, remember we first met? No, you know anything about Pastor Daniel? He is, when I first met him, you know, he liked to wear singlets, you know, you know, those old school singlet, you know, yeah. He's very shabbily dressed and, I'm like that too, you see. So very ordinary, PJ folks, you know. And he said, can you imagine? Will you imagine, you know, that, years later that we will be both pastors of some of the major parishes in Singapore. None of us then would dare to imagine. But such was the goodness of God. And the lesson I learned from that day is to keep my heart devoted to Jesus, just as I was in my younger days. I may have gone a bit sophisticated theologically and blah, 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 so on and so forth. But the heart needs to remain the same, devoted to Jesus. For only then can He use us for His glory. It was St. Augustine who said this, very controversial, but you need to understand what he said in his context. He said this, love God and do whatever you please. You need to read him carefully in his context. Huh? He said, for the soul trained in love to God will do nothing to offend the one he loves. So Mary has chosen what is good, and it will not be taken away from her. I love the word chosen. In other words, it is not a natural disposition, it is a choice. Will you make a choice? Not so much to commit yourself to a form of devotion. I'm not promoting spiritual retreats here, right? There's another sermon for that, there's a place for that. But this passage, no, but this passage is about, will you make a choice to be devoted to Jesus? That's the message of Luke 10. What we are doing, right? Will you make a choice to be devoted to Christ? I'll end by sharing this song with you. Now, I love Negro spirituals. Now, this is a politically incorrect word, and so we use the word American, African spiritual. Wow, you know, not quite right. Not quite right. Ah, yeah, yeah. You know, I think even Ken Renji will agree. But a Negro spiritual, like for example, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. It's simple, a repeated refrain, right? And it goes straight to the point, you see? Right? There's a power of a Negro spiritual. I've been told, I'm not sure whether it's true, but all Negro spirituals can play on the black keys of the piano. Amazing Grace, actually, the tune is actually a Negro spiritual. But there's a song, Give Me Jesus, some of you may have sung it. It came back again. This song, by the way, is 200 years old, right? But recently it came back, I think, to some Christian artists that sang it, and it was also sung at Ruth Graham's funeral. So it came this strong song again. I was in St. James Church when a worship leader picked it up, and I was immediately like, boom! I just attracted the songs like that. So it's a very simple message. It's just say, give me Jesus. All through my life. Give me Jesus. I'll just sing once you to minister to you, and I'm sure we can sing together later on. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
Jesus, you can have for this world, but give me Jesus.
Sometimes in life we are all alone. Maybe perhaps we are bored, or perhaps you're all alone because a loved one has passed away. Different season in your life. And you sing,
when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
And all of us one day will reach this point in our life, and I trust you'll be able to sing this.
When I've come to die, oh, when I've come to die, when I've come to die, give me Jesus.
Join me, please.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have for this world, but give me Jesus.
Why do we stand? Let this be both a declaration and a prayer too, you see. It's a prayer because sometimes our hearts are very distracted like Martha. But we say, Lord, give me Jesus. Hallelujah.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Jesus, you can have for this world, but give me Jesus.
Hallelujah.
When I am alone,
sing it to the Lord.
And when
hallelujah.
And when I am,
oh, that's all we want, Lord Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have for this world, but give me Jesus.
Let's do it a cappella. When I come to die.
When I've come to die, oh, when I've come to die, when I've come to die, give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all
repeat this.
You can help all this world. You can help all this world. But give me Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you for this wonderful song, Lord. It reminds us, Lord, even as with those who have wrote it, when they're so deprived, under so much oppression, and that's the declaration. And Lord, in the midst of abundance in Singapore, Lord, we want to be able to sing this refrain as well. For we cannot be in abundance all the time, but there will be many moments in our lives where we are impoverished and all alone. And Lord, we want to know what it means to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Only Jesus. A simplicity of our devotion to Him, attentiveness to Him, in the midst of all we are doing as a church, in our work, in our family, to always honor Christ, set a price, set You apart, O Lord, as Lord of our lives. Hallelujah. That's our prayer. Receive Your word this morning, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruz.org.sg. God bless.